The Good Earth, Disc 9.
Chapter 27. During all this time, Wang Lung had scarcely thought of what the harvests were, so busy had he been with the wedding feasts and funerals in his house. But one day Ching came to him and he said, "Now that the joy and sorrow are over, I have that to tell you about the land." "Say on, then," Wang Lung answered. "I have scarcely thought whether I had land or not these days except to bury my dead in." Ching waited in silence for a few minutes in respect to Wang Lung when he spoke thus. And then he said softly, "Now may heaven avert it, but it looks as though there would be such a flood this year as never was. For the water is swelling up over the land, although it isn't summer yet, and too early for it to come like this." But Wang Lung said stoutly, "I have never had any good from that old man in heaven yet. Incense or no incense, he is the same in evil. Let's go and see the land." And as he spoke, he rose. Now Ching was a fearful and timid man, and however bad the times were, he didn't dare, as Wang Lung did, to exclaim against heaven. He only said, "Heaven wills it," and he accepted flood and drought with meekness. Not so Wang Lung. He went out on his land, on this piece and that, and he saw it was as Ching said, all those pieces along the moat, along the waterways which he had bought from the old lord of the house of Wang, were wet and mucky from the full water oozing up from the bottom, so that the good wheat on this land had turned sickly and yellow. The moat itself was like a lake, and the canals were rivers, swift and curling in small eddies and whirlpools. And even a fool could see that with summer rains not yet come, there would be that year a mighty flood, and men and women and children starving again. Then Wang Lung ran hastily here and there over his land, and Ching came silently as a shadow behind him, and they estimated together which land could be planted to rice, and which land before the young rice could be put on it would already be under water. And looking at the canals brimming already to the edge of their banks, Wang Lung cursed and said, "Now that old man in heaven will enjoy himself, for he will look down and see people drowned and starving, and that is what the accursed one likes." This he said loudly and angrily, so that Ching shivered and said, "Even so, he is greater than any one of us, and don't talk so, my master." But since he was rich, Wang Lung was careless, and he was as angry as he liked, and he muttered as he walked homeward to think of the water swelling up over his land and over his good crops. Then it all came to pass as Wang Lung had foreseen. The river to the north burst its dikes, its furthermost dikes first, and when men saw what had happened, they hurried from this place to that to collect money to mend it. And every man gave as he was able, for it was to the interest of each to keep the river within its bounds. The money they entrusted then to the magistrate in the district, a man new and just come. Now this magistrate was a poor man, and hadn't seen so much money in his lifetime before, being only newly risen to his position through the bounty of his father, who had put all the money he had and could borrow to buy this place for his son, so that from it the family might acquire some wealth. When the river burst again, the people went howling and clamoring to this magistrate's house because he hadn't done what he promised and mended the dikes. And he ran and hid himself because the money he had spent in his own house, even 3,000 pieces of silver. And the common people burst into his house, howling and demanding his life for what he had done, and when he saw he would be killed, he ran and jumped into the water and drowned himself. And thus the people were appeased. But still the money was gone. And the river burst yet another dike, and another before it was content with the space it had for itself. And then it wore away these walls of earth until none could tell where a dike had been in that whole country. And the river swelled and rolled like a sea over all the good farming land. And the wheat and the young rice were at the bottom of the sea. One by one the villages were made into islands, and men watched the water rising, and when it came within 2 feet of their doorways, they bound their tables and beds together and put the doors of their houses upon them for rafts. And they piled what they could of their bedding and their clothes and their women and children on these rafts. And the water rose into the earthen houses, and softened the walls and burst them apart, and they melted down into the water, and were as if they had never been. And then, as if water on earth drew water from heaven, it rained as though the earth were in drought. Day after day, it rained. Wang Lung sat in his doorway and looked out over the waters that were yet far enough from his house that was built on a high, wide hill. But he saw the waters covering his land, and he watched lest it cover the new-made graves, but it didn't, although the waves of the yellow clay-laden water lapped about the dead hungrily. There were no harvests of any kind that year, and everywhere people starved and were hungry, and were angry at what had befallen them yet again. Some went south, and some who were bold and angry and cared nothing for what they did joined the robber bands that flourished everywhere in the countryside. These even tried to beleaguer the town so that the townspeople locked the gates of the wall continually except for one small gate called the Western Water Gate, and this was watched by soldiers and locked at night also. And besides those who robbed and those who went south to work and to beg, even as Wang Lung had once gone with his old father and his wife and children, there were others who were old and tired and timid, and who had no sons, like Ching. And these stayed and starved, and ate grass and what leaves they could find on high places, and many died upon the land and water. Then Wang Lung saw that a famine such as he had never seen was upon the land, for the water didn't recede in time to plant the wheat for winter, and there could be no harvest then the next year. And he looked well to his own house and to the spending of money and food, and he quarreled heartily with Cuckoo because for a long time she would still buy meat every day in the town. And he was glad at last, since there must be flood, that the water crept between his house and the town, so that she could no longer go to market when she would. For he wouldn't allow the boats to be put forth except when he said. And Ching listened to him, and not to Cuckoo, for all her sharpness of tongue. Wang Lung allowed nothing to be bought and sold after the winter came except what he said, and he husbanded carefully all that they had. Every day he gave out to his daughter-in-law what food was needed in the house for that day. And to Ching he gave out what the laborers should have, although it hurt him to feed idle men. And it hurt him so greatly that at last when winter cold came and the water froze over, he bade the men begone to the south to beg and to labor until the spring came when they might return to him. Only to Lotus he gave secretly sugar and oil, because she was not accustomed to hardship. Even on the new year they did eat but a fish they caught themselves in the lake, and a pig they killed from the farm. Now Wang Lung was not so poor as he wished to seem, for he had good silver hidden away in the walls where his son slept with his wife, though his son and daughter-in-law didn't know it, and he had good silver and even some gold hidden in a jar at the bottom of the lake under his nearest field, and he had some hidden among the roots of the bamboos, and he had grains from the year before which he had not sold at market, and there was no danger of starvation in his house. But all around him there were people starving. And he remembered the cries of the starving at the gate of the great house once when he passed. And he knew that there were many who hated him well, because he had still that which he could eat and feed to his children. And so he kept his gates barred, and he let none in whom he didn't know. But still he knew very well that even this couldn't have saved him in these times of robbers and lawlessness if it hadn't been for his uncle. Well did Wang Lung know that if it had not been for his uncle's power, he would have been robbed and sacked for his food and for his money and for the women in his house. So he was courteous to his uncle, and to his uncle's son, and to his uncle's wife, and the three were like guests in his house, and they drank tea before others, and dipped first with their chopsticks into the bowls at mealtime. Now these three saw well enough that Wang Lung was afraid of them, and they grew haughty, and demanded this and that, and complained of what they ate and drank. And especially did the woman complain, for she missed the delicacies she had eaten in the inner courts, and she complained to her husband, and the three of them complained to Wang Lung. Now Wang Lung saw that although his uncle himself grew old and lazy and careless, and would not have troubled to complain if he had been let alone, yet the young man, his son, and his wife goaded him. And one day when Wang Lung stood at the gate, he heard these two urging the old man. "Well, and he has money and food, and let us demand silver of him." And the woman said, "We will never have such a hold as this again, for well he knows that if you were not his uncle and the brother of his father, he would be robbed and sacked, and his house left empty and a ruin, since you stand next to the head of the Redbeards." Wang Lung, standing there secretly and hearing this, grew so angry that his skin was like to burst on him. But he was silent with great effort, and he tried to plan what he could do with these three. But he could think of nothing to do. When therefore his uncle came to him next day, saying, "Well, and my good nephew, give me a handful of silver to buy me a pipe and a bit of smoke, and my woman is ragged and needs a new coat." He could say nothing, but he handed the old man the 5 pieces of silver from his girdle, although he gnashed his teeth secretly. And it seemed to him that never in the old days, when silver was rare with him, had it gone from him so unwillingly. Then before 2 days were past, his uncle was at him again and again for silver. And Wang Lung shouted at last, "Well, and shall we all starve soon?" And his uncle laughed and said carelessly, "You are under a good heaven. There are men less rich than you who hang from the burnt rafters of their houses." When Wang Lung heard this, cold sweat broke out on him, and he gave the silver without a word. And so, although they went without meat in the house, these three must eat meat. And although Wang Lung himself scarcely tasted tobacco, his uncle puffed unceasingly at his pipe. Now Wang Lung's eldest son had been engrossed in his marriage, and he scarcely saw what happened except that he guarded his wife jealously from the gaze of his cousin, so that now these two were no longer friends but enemies. Wang Lung's son scarcely let his wife stir from their room except in the evenings when the other man was gone with his father, and during the day he made her stay shut in the room. But when he saw these three doing as they would with his father, he grew angry, for he was of a quick temper. And he said, "Well, and if you care more for these three tigers than you do for your son and his wife, the mother of your grandsons, it's a strange thing, and we had better set up our house elsewhere." Wang Lung told him plainly then what he had told no one. "I hate these three worse than my life, and if I could think of a way, I would do it. But your uncle is lord of a horde of wild robbers, and if I feed him and coddle him, we are safe, and no one can show anger toward them." Now when the eldest son heard this, he stared until his eyes hung out of his head. But when he had thought of it for a while, he was more angry than ever, and he said, "How is this for a way? Let's push them all into the water one night. Ching can push the woman, for she's fat and soft and helpless, and I will push the young one, my cousin, whom I hate enough, for he's always peeping at my wife, and you can push the man." But Wang Lung couldn't kill, although he would rather have killed his uncle than his ox. He couldn't kill even when he hated. And he said, "No. And even if I could do this thing, to push my father's brother into the water, I wouldn't. For if the other robbers heard of it, what should we do? And if he lives, we are safe. And if he is gone, we are become as other people who have a little and so are in danger in such times as these." Then the two of them fell silent, each thinking heavily what to do. and the young man saw that his father was right, and death was too easy for the trouble, and that there must be another way. And Wang Lung spoke aloud at last, musing, "If there were a way that we could keep them here but make them harmless and undesiring, what a thing it would be. But there is no such magic as this." Then the young man smote his two hands together and cried out, "Well, and you've told me what to do. Let's buy them opium to enjoy, and more opium, and let them have their will of it as rich people do. I will seem to be friends with my cousin again, and I will entice him away to the tea-house in the town where one can smoke, and we can buy it for my uncle and his wife." But Wang Lung, since he hadn't thought of the thing first himself, was doubtful. "It will cost a great deal," he said slowly, "for opium is as dear as jade." "Well, and it's dearer than jade to have them at us like this," the young man argued, "and to endure besides their haughtiness and the young man peeping at my wife." But Wang Lung wouldn't at once consent, for it wasn't so easy a thing to do, and it would cost a good bag of silver to do it. It's doubtful whether the thing would ever have been done, and they would have gone as they were until the waters chose to recede, had not a thing happened. This thing was that the son of Wang Lung's uncle cast his eyes upon the second daughter of Wang Lung, who was his cousin and by blood the same as his sister. Now the second daughter of Wang Lung was an exceedingly pretty girl, and she looked like the second son, who was a merchant, but with her smallness and lightness, and she had not his yellow skin. Her skin was fair and pale as almond flowers, and she had a little low nose and thin red lips, and her feet were small. Her cousin laid hold of her one night when she passed alone through the court from the kitchen. He laid hold of her roughly, and he pressed his hand into her bosom, and she screamed out, and Wang Lung ran out and beat the man about the head. But he was like a dog with a piece of stolen meat that he would not drop, so that Wang Lung had to tear his daughter away. Then the man laughed thickly, and he said, "It's only play. And isn't she my sister? Can a man do any evil with his sister?" But his eyes glittered with lust as he spoke, and Wang Lung muttered and pulled the girl away and sent her into her own room. And Wang Lung told his son that night what had come about. And the young man was grave, and he said, "We must send the maid into the town to the home of her betrothed. Even if the merchant Liu says it's a year too evil for wedding, we must send her, lest we can't keep her virgin with this hot tiger in the house." So Wang Lung did. He went the next day into the town and to the house of the merchant, and he said, "My daughter is 13 years old, and no longer a child, and she is fit for marriage." But Liu was hesitant, and he said, "I have not enough profit this year to begin a family in my house." Now Wang Lung was ashamed to say, "There is the son of my uncle in the house, and he is a tiger," so he said only, "I would not have the care of this maid upon me, because her mother is dead, and she is pretty, and is of an age to conceive, and my house is large and full of this and that, and I can't watch her every hour. Since she is to be your family, let her virginity be guarded here, and let her be wed soon or late, as you like." Then the merchant, being a lenient and kindly man, replied, "Well, and if this is how it is, let the maid come, and I will speak to my son's mother, and she can come and be safe here in the courts with her mother-in-law, and after the next harvest or so she can be wed." Thus the matter was settled, and Wang Lung was well content, and he went away. But on his way back to the gate in the wall where Ching held a boat waiting for him, Wang Lung passed a shop where tobacco and opium are sold, and he went in to buy himself a little shredded tobacco to put in his water pipe in the evenings, and as the clerk had it on the scales, he said half unwillingly to the man, "And how much is your opium if you have it?" And the clerk said, "It is not lawful in these days to sell it over the counter, and we don't sell it so, but if you wish to buy it and have the silver, it's weighed out in the room behind this, an ounce for a silver piece." then Wang Lung would not think further what he did. But he said quickly, "I will take 6 ounces of it."